The Wisconsin River is a familiar sight for most of us in the state, whether we cross it on road trips, hang out on the beach, or get out in or on the water.
But our next guest wanted a closer connection with the river, so he decided to travel the entire length of the river this fall, from its source on the border with the Upper Peninsula to its outlet in Prairie du Chien, and he did it alone on a paddleboard.
The weather didn't always cooperate. Here's an excerpt from a web chat he did while huddling under a tarp in the rain near Castle Rock.
Yeah, a few minutes later it started raining, and then like a good like 100 yards from my campsite, lightning hit somewhere, and it was close. You know it's close when like you see the light and hear the boom at the same time, and you're still alive.
Jesse survived the lightning and finished the trip a few weeks back. Now he's working on a documentary to share what he calls a conservation success story and an inspirational lesson from Wisconsin. Jesse Heeb joins us now from our Milwaukee studio. He's a paddleboarder and a filmmaker. He's working on the documentary Gone Paddling. Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So why did you decide you wanted to do this? It might sound crazy to some of us, journey down the entire length of the Wisconsin River on a paddleboard.
Yeah, it was kind of a ridiculous idea, but a good idea in the end. For me, it started off being a personal thing. I'm a fairly religious person, and I get really close to my God when I'm out in nature. And so that was what it was for me. I wanted to just get out into nature and get close and get away from my phone. And so that's how it all started. And it wasn't until I reached out to the River Alliance of Wisconsin to see if we could pair up just so that I could, you know, push out their story a little bit with what I was doing. And it was then that they started telling me the story of the history of the river. And that's really what got me moving on wanting to help tell that story. The revitalization of the Wisconsin River is something it's just pure incredible. You know, thousands of people, hundreds of industries, municipalities and governments all working together for one common reason, that being that they knew they had to take care of a freshwater resource that had been taking care of them for years. And, you know, everyone had their own ideas on how to do it, and it was going to cost them a whole lot of money. And at the end of the day, everyone eventually made the right decision to take care of their natural resource. And I think that's just so incredible. You know, it's just something that you don't get to hear about anymore, you know. We always hear about environmental regulation hurting businesses, but in the case of the Wisconsin River, it is this beautiful story of environmental regulation helping industries innovate and modernize, and as a result, they're still around, and the river's a lot better for it.
And yeah, you've talked about the river being really polluted as recently as 40 years ago. What does it look like now, viewed by paddleboard, the whole length of it? I know it's not all perfect yet, but you got a good close look at it.
Yeah, you know, it's gorgeous. And I always knew that. You know, I've been paddling on that river for, gosh, 6-7 years now. And I actually personally never had any clue that it was ever a dirty river. It always just seemed gorgeous. And actually, a lot of the people that I talked to along the way, when I would tell them, yeah, this river used to be really polluted, it used to be bad, most of them were surprised. And a number of them said, oh, yeah, I remember. I remember going in here as a kid, and we'd go swimming and we'd get sick, and we couldn't eat the fish out of here. It was so gross. And, you know, Mom would throw away our clothes after we got done swimming and wouldn't let us walk in the house because it was so bad, right? So there are people that remember it, and it's hard to believe that it was just 40 years ago that it was that bad.
So let's talk about the beginning of your adventure on the river on a paddleboard. You were in the northern border where it begins. What was that first day like, and what did you have with you?
I was so scared.
That's honest.
My ride dropped me off, and as he dropped me off, I thought to myself, gosh, I've only been out in nature by myself like for a max of maybe 4 days, right? And I'm like, I'm about to do this for 17 to 20 days. So I just, you know, took a couple of big deep breaths, and the river up there is actually quite small. It's not much wider than, you know, 4 or 5 feet, and not much deeper than about 2 feet, and that's in flood stage. And so, yeah, so that was that first day, and you go through this marshland right there at the beginning, and gorgeous, just straight up gorgeous. I mean, it's kind of nice to be in a place where the wildlife still acts like wildlife, right? And I say that because here in Milwaukee, the deer just kind of stand there and look at you, and you're 5 feet from them, right? But up there, the wildlife still runs away from you. And so it was kind of nice to be in nature. And, you know, I'm paddling, and I'm seeing all these gorgeous fish swimming underneath my board and in front of me. I'm seeing beavers and otters, eagles and herrings that were just incredible. So it was, the first day was just great, and, you know, didn't make it quite as far as I would have liked the very first day. Only made it about 12, 13 miles of the 30 that I had hoped to make. But it was for the better, you know. Found a great campsite up there that was set up by one of the park systems up there. So I was able to use that. And the following day was harsh. The following day was a cold and rainy day, and that really made me question if I hadn't made the right decision.
Well, and I understand, when I think of the Wisconsin River, I don't think of rapids, but I gather up near the source, you actually would have to paddleboard through some rapids?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, the Wisconsin River has, it gives you pretty much everything you would expect from any type of river. So you've got your small streams, your rapids, you've got your marshland, you've got big river, you've got just a, you got huge flowages, right, and your lakes. So you get everything that you want. But yeah, up around, there's a dam called Hat Rapids Dam. And just south of that dam are the rapids. And you only get about a class two, but you also have a rapids park in Wausau that a lot of people don't know about. Wausau is known worldwide for the whitewater competitions that they have up there, which was news to me. But yeah, you get a lot of different river. So.
And it sounds like, because of, at least in part because of those rapids, you were not on what I would have thought of as maybe a traditional paddleboard, which was a solid, I don't know if it's fiberglass or something like mm-hmm. that, but it sounds like you were on an inflatable paddleboard.
Yeah, there are two reasons for that. The very first reason was because of the rapids. I personally didn't know what to expect from that chunk of the river. I had never paddled it before. I just knew that there were going to be rapids. And yeah, a traditional hardboard wouldn't be ideal for that. And so an inflatable board would. The other part of it was I knew I had a number of different portages, and I hadn't actually figured out how I was getting home. And so in the event that I didn't have a ride, I had planned to just hop on a bus and get back. And I'm pretty sure no bus driver would let me take a hardboard onto the bus or strap it to the top. So that was the other reason.
Talking to Jesse Heeb, he's a filmmaker, a paddleboarder. He went the whole length of the Wisconsin River on a paddleboard, working on a documentary about it now. Jesse, let's talk some of the basics, like food. What did you do to eat over this course of about 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was fairly limited. I decided to bring all of my food with me all at once rather than having drops along the way. And it was just too hard to anticipate when I would be getting to certain places. So I was very limited. For breakfast, I would do a half cup of oatmeal and a scoop of protein powder. And then for lunch, I would do tortillas with peanut butter and cinnamon. And then for dinner, I would do rice and beans, and sometimes get to add a package of tuna to that.
Wow. Well, I suppose you had the river to keep you interested. It definitely wasn't your food. So.
No. Although I had a couple of people bring me like Twix bars, and that was straight up incredible.
I bet you had new appreciation for Twix bars. So I want to ask you, I mean, this, it's an adventure. It's an adventure story. Did you have any moments where you thought, you know, maybe I'm not going to come out of this one okay, or I just want to hang it up? This is too hard.
Yeah. There were two events where I felt like I was done for. One was just being trapped on a rock, having to camp on a rock in the middle of the river. Wow. With a storm on its way, right? And that was the only time that I had kind of gotten stuck. It got too late. It was right after the rapids. It was just a unique place in the river where I wasn't able to find a place to camp that was safe. And so I ended up putting my board on top of a rock and then pitching my tent on top of the board. And I was actually, to give you an idea of how scared I was, that night, I do a video journal every night, and that night I said my goodbyes to each one of my family members in video, because I was just like, I just don't know what to expect. And normally I'm really safe. And that night I was as safe as I could get, but it just still didn't feel safe, right? And you know, I was okay with it. I mean, I know where I'm going to be. So if something like that happens, and then the a couple days later, was when those thunderstorms happened, and the lightning struck, and the funny thing about that video that you played, about 10 minutes after I got done taking that video, I said, nope. No way. I'm not staying underneath this tent. And I went running for one of the state park pit toilets that was about a half mile away. Mm. And I hung out in the pit toilet for like 8 hours.
Oh, man.
It was the most brutal
Living
night.
Living the dream.
Loving the outdoors. And so, yeah, it was a pretty brutal night. And that was about the time, I would say, where my motivation just tanked. And you're getting, you know, I'm about halfway through, right? And I was ready to call it quits, and I just wanted to get done. And I kind of had that mood for about 3-4 days, and then I got to the lower Wisconsin, and I was still in that mindset of, okay, look, I've only got 90 miles left. Let's get this done with. I'm ready to go home, and I hit a wall of wind, and for 2 days the wind was just terrible. Head on, I went maybe 2 miles in one day.
Wow.
And at first I thought it was a curse, but it ended up being just a wonderful blessing.
Jesse, I want to jump in. We're very close to out of time, and in 20 seconds or so, what was it like when you came out into the mouth of the Mississippi to wrap up the trip?
I couldn't believe I was done. It was this like huge weight off my shoulders, and I knew that I had a great story to tell that deserved to be told.
Well, Jesse, thanks a lot for joining us, and good luck putting the documentary together.
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
That's filmmaker and paddleboarder Jesse Heeb. He's working on the documentary Gone Paddling about his trip this fall down the length of the Wisconsin River.